look at a number of things that's happening in the life of Christ and a number of things that's happening with others as well. In this chapter, there's a number of people who are called to service for the Lord. And they probably had been aware of Jesus, but they were going to get really acquainted with Jesus at this point. So we're going to see that. We want to start with verse 1 and 2. Jim, you want to read 1 and 2? So, how many is familiar with the Lake of Gennesaret? That's the Sea of Galilee. That's the Sea of Tiberias. That's the Sea of Chinnereth. It's a lot of seas, isn't it? Debbie, you want the Jimmy Schweiger Bible? Right here. So this is not only something that we see or an area that we're familiar with that's in Galilee, and it is a very populated area. And when Jesus saw the ship, he saw two ships, but there could have been as many as 4,000 ships along that area. It was very busy, very populated, about 250,000 people. So, and it was a very prosperous area. And this is where Jesus decided to have his headquarters. And so he was ministering. And when you're by a lake and you're preaching and people begin to crowd you, it's a wet time. And Jesus looked over and said, well, here's a boat. I might as well stay dry. So he saw the ship and got in one of them. And I believe that he was probably already familiar with Peter and Andrew and John and James and John. But he got in and he just asked, can you just give me a little platform here? And then that way I can stay dry and the people can hear. And he taught. Can you imagine people being so interesting that they would just throng Jesus because of what he said? But see, they had been in church, like a lot of us, all their lives. But they'd never heard anyone speak like Jesus. And they heard about the law and the do's and don'ts. But they'd never heard anybody bring it down to a personal relationship. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came to make it very personal. And the fishermen had gone out. They were washing their nets. And it's kind of it seems like there was this was a rough night. We didn't catch much. We didn't catch anything. And so we might as well just come in and clean up and call it a day or call it a night or whatever. And so verses 3 and 4, who wants to read that for us, where we're at? Becky, you want to read 3 and 4?
And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.
So the ship that he chose was Simon's and Andrew's. And he said, just give me a little time and let's push out and let me speak. And then in the fourth verse, he had ended his sermon, his message, his teaching. And then he said, let's go out a little deeper. And then you can let down your nets for a draught. He wasn't saying just let down your nets and see what we might come up with. Jesus was saying, hey, you loan me your boat for a platform, I'm going to repay you. and you just let down your nets, and you're going to have more fish than you can contain. You got to love Peter, right? Because what Peter says is what most of us would say. Well, I don't know if you're aware that we've been fishing. Terry, you want to read 5 and 6?
And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake.
So Peter was telling his story and giving his side and saying, yeah, well, we've tried this before. We're fishermen. You're a rabbi, a teacher, and a very, you know, nice guy, but just so you know, there's no fish out there. There's not one within 100 miles of us. And so I'm just telling you that, but as he was telling Jesus that, he was letting down his nets, because that's what Jesus told him to do. And he was obedient. Nevertheless, because of what you said, and as soon as they let their nets down, this is my kind of fishing, okay? Put the hook in the water, catch a fish. This thing of putting the hook in the water and waiting, having time to eat a sandwich or something. And who wants to eat a sandwich after you've messed with bait? I am just not into that fishing that much. I'm sorry, it's kind of, I know that people love fishing, and I'm grateful they do. You sit there with that hook in the water all you want to. Sit all day, it doesn't bother me. But for myself, I don't want to do that. We fished at Brushy Creek when the kids were little, and that's in Round Rock. And we would throw the hook in, and there would be a fish within seconds. Now, they were little. They were little perch. But a lot of times, we'd take those guys home, and there would be enough to fry up several of them, but those little perch were really good-tasting fish. Now, Sister Clearman could fix crappie like I've never tasted in my life, and that was a wonderful meal that she fixed. But we would we'd get buckets full in 20 or 30 minutes. The kids were little, and I thought, this is the way to fish. I mean, throw that hook out there, boom, there's a fish on the end of it. But there were so many fish that their nets begin to break. That's a blessing. I mean, I know they don't want their nets torn up, but to have that many fish after fishing all night and caught no fishes, and now their nets begin to break. Sharon, you want to read 7 and 8 for us?
And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.
So, they had some of the, and James and John, come on over. There's so many fish, we can't haul them all. And so their boat came over and they began to bring them in, so to the point that both ships or both boats begin to sink. And again, that is a lot of fish. It humbled Peter so much. You know, so different things will humble you, right? Some people you're humbled by words, and others are humbled by a lot of fish. And for Peter, this was a miracle. And he never thought he'd see anything like this. While he was telling Jesus, we fished all night and we caught no fishes. That's from Peter, James, and John in the sailboat out on the dark blue sea. That's a song that we used to sing when we were kids. But they fished all night and they caught no fishes. But when they were obedient to Jesus, Jesus filled their nets and almost sank their boats. And when Simon realized what was going on, he fell down and he repented before the Lord. Hey, I'm telling you, this is just too much for me. I am a sinful man. Jesus knew who he was. And Jesus was willing to take him as he was and to put him to work doing more than just fishing for fish. He was going to give him an occupational change real quick. and Peter was going to go along with it. Don, you want to read? Or no? Okay. Debbie, you want to read 9 and 10?
For he was astonished at all who were with him, and all who were with him at the draw of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, for henceforth you shall catch men.
So like I said, and then verse 11 says, and when they had brought their nets to land, they forsook all and followed him. So they were amazed. This really got their attention. And Jesus supplying this need and supplying fish that is the way they earned their living was such an amazing thing. They knew how to fish. They didn't need to be taught or trained how to fish. They knew how to do that. But they did what they knew and it didn't work. And now Jesus just speaks a word and they've got more fish than they probably ever caught before. They were astonished. They were surprised at what happened. And then when they came in, they left everything and followed Jesus. Jesus said, I'm gonna change you and you're gonna be fishers of men. You're gonna catch souls. You're gonna win souls for me, and this will be a life change for you. Now that's the miracle, verses 4 through 11. I'm going to read 12 so I don't get lost. 12 says, and this starts off, Jesus heals a leper. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. This wasn't a guy that was, you know, kind of getting leprosy happening. This was a guy that had leprosy for a while, and he was, no doubt, he was in pretty bad shape, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, this is King James Version, Old King James, if you wilt, thou canst make me clean. Amazing faith for a desperate person. He had absolutely no hope. The medical community didn't give him any hope. I don't know what we do with leprosy today. It seems like we're not around it that much. And I imagine if you've got leprosy, it's still a big deal, a bad situation. But in this day, it was pretty much hopeless. And it seems like this man was in that place. He was just in very desperate times. And yet when he saw Jesus, he got down and humbled himself fully and bowed before the Lord. If you will, you can make me clean. And I've set that up. So Audrey, you want to read 13 and 14?
Sure. I have New Living Translation.
That's fine.
Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. Did you say to stop?
Yeah. I think we're good. And thank you. He put forth his hand and he said, I'm willing. I'm going to do it. Be clean. And the commentary says that it's by the time he got his hand on him, he didn't touch him to heal him. He spoke to heal him. But by the time he got his hand there, the man was no longer a leper. Because if Jesus touched a leper, he'd have to go through a cleansing process with the priest as well. So he put his hand out, and he said, I will be thou clean. And then he told him not to do anything, but go and, go to the priest, because that was the order. In order for him, he can be proclaimed as though he had never had leprosy. If you would go through the right channel, go to the priest, let them examine you, and they would examine him for a certain amount of time. I think it was 7 days. They'd be put him in isolation, go check him, and then after the certain amount of time, they would go and say, "You are clean. Go out and do whatever and mingle with the people. You are fine." And then this is an amazing healing. Right after the draught of fishes, or the multitude of fishes brought to Peter and his buddies, now the man that was full of leprosy, having very little hope, now he's healed. It's another miracle. Donnie, you want to read 15 and 16? And so because of this wonderful thing that had happened, his fame spread abroad, and everyone that needed healing would come and seek the Lord. And again, people that are in need are pushy, huh? They want, they seek, they'll go out of their way and put you out of your way in order to get what they want. And so Jesus would withdraw himself to the wilderness to pray and to commune with the Father and get ready to go for the next time that he would both minister and speak, and that he would bring healing to many people. Jesus never failed to heal or to cast out a demon. The only thing Jesus failed at, and it wasn't his failure, was the rich young ruler decided not to accept what the Lord had offered him, and he went away the same way he came to Jesus. But those who came for healing and deliverance from the devil, Jesus' power ministered and healed and touched them every time. Amazing. Anyone have a comment or anything you'd like to share? Okay, our next section is, I'm sorry.
When you were talking about the crowds coming, it just reminded me of like when Leroy came and there were so many people that, you know, needed and kind of pressed in and had that desperation like you were describing. So just like that reminded me of that.
And so many of those people, I mean, Leroy was taking an offering one night, and he was wanting $1,000 gift. And we had people that were out in the other annex, because it wasn't rented at that point. And those people saw what he was doing on the camera. They nearly broke these doors down over here to get in to give $1,000 gifts to Leroy. And what were they doing it for? For the opportunity that they might receive a touch or something from him. Jesus didn't associate offering with healing. He healed. And I don't know how he handled his offering, but whatever it is, we don't hear that. What we hear is that Jesus kept giving and giving and blessing and blessing. Claire, you want to read?
Seventeen
and 18. I'm sorry. Yep.
One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying
thank you. This is another story of a miracle of Jesus. I don't know. I think this is one of the most clever things that you see with Jesus, because he's got a pretty good crowd. And there's quite a few of the doctors and the, I guess you would call them the lawyers, the scribes, the religious leaders. Now, they weren't there to see what they could get from Jesus, but to really throw a monkey wrench into his ministry. They were there to see what they could do to get on him and see if they could stop what he was doing. And the problem was they could never get ahead of Jesus. Jesus always knew what they were thinking and was able to minister beyond their ability to stop him. And so there was a fellow that was brought by his friends, and they wanted to get him in through the front door, but it was too crowded. And I like this story. I taught this as a youth leader, and I can just imagine young people are resourceful and resilient and stubborn. So if they can't do it one way, they're going to look and see if there's another way. Unfortunately, a lot of times that's used in a negative way. If they can't tear something up one way, they'll tear it up the next way. And we all have seen that and in our youth and in the youth of our kids and others as well. But here's four guys, and they really wanted their buddy to be healed, to join them. He was paralyzed. He couldn't move. To some degree, he couldn't move. And so, going on, Jim, you want to read 19 and 20?
When they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tilting into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven."
So Jesus has all these religious leaders sitting there, and he thought, "I'm going to show them, give them a good example of something." And he saw what these guys had done, and I think he appreciated their effort, and I think he wanted to bring a blessing to the people. And right in the very beginning of his ministry, set out and establish who he was. So they couldn't find a way to get in, so they went on top of the roof, and there was some sort of an opening. It says that they removed the tile, but probably there was a lid of some sort up there, and they opened that up, and they just let him right down in front of Jesus. Now, that is an amazing delivery of a sick person, right down before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he addressed the man, and he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And I know that as he was saying that, he was looking straight in the eye of all those religious leaders. He had gotten their attention because they thought, "Oh, what did he say?" Have you ever heard someone say something like that? And you just know they were stirring up trouble. Well, Jesus was doing more than stirring up trouble. He was establishing himself. And so, let's go on there. Sister Becky, 21, 22. And Terry, you want to read 23, 24?
Whether it's easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Rise up and walk," but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house."
So the scribes and Pharisees are getting nervous, agitated, angry, mad, fit to be tied or whatever. And their thoughts were, who could forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus could read their minds and know what they were thinking. And he said, what's going on with what you guys are, that are reasoning in your heart? What is easier to say, "Your sins be forgiven"? You know, I could say that to all of you tonight. Your sins are forgiven. That's easy. Well, but how do I know? You can pretty well guarantee if I tell you that, nothing's changed. But if Jesus says that, something big has changed. And Jesus said, so let me give you an example of power. It's easier just to say something about sins because you can't see that. But he said, here's something for you. Hey, you, the guy that's sick, I want you to get up and get out of here. Carry your bed with you. Jim?
You notice the man didn't question him. He was there for prayer. He wanted to be healed. Yeah. He wasn't questioning. It was those soothsayers around him. That man was not questioning anything.
Yeah, he wasn't causing any trouble for Jesus. He just wanted to be healed and get on about his business. But that's the power of the Lord. He had power to forgive sins. He was God. But he also had power to have someone healed and get up and walk. A lot of spiritual blessings come when we're just obedient to the Lord, and we don't know exactly what one thing means or another means, but we do know this, that if we just take that step that God's given us, then the big blessing is there to happen. Audrey?
Yeah, so, seeing the words where Jesus was saying that he saw their faith, that was something that God was, like, keeping on my heart, like, stirring up in my heart, like, recently, because Claire had asked me to pray for her. I can't remember if she was sick or if she was in pain, but there was something, and she said, Mom, can you pray for me? And I prayed for her, and she prayed, and then she was instantly better. And then I went to work the next day. I told my coworker, Claire and I prayed, and then God, healed her right away. And she said, that's because she has the faith to receive it. Yeah. And it just made me think, okay, so God has the ability, and we have the faith. They go hand in hand. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but, God only knows why. But, but we do have, a part to play in it, and not that we're not in control of it, but
and Jesus said, if we have the faith as a child, that, we could have great blessings and deliverances. Children seem to have less why nots. And Jesus recognizes that and honors that. Terry, did you read already? No?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Sister Sharon, would you read 25 and 26? Isn't that amazing? The man got up, went home. He was happy. And he not only had the Lord healed him, but he told him his sins were forgiven him. And so he left glorifying God. He had received. And then everybody was amazed, and they were glorifying God. I like when something happens that God gets the glory. And they were filled with fear or awe because strange things had happened. Not just the healing, but the forgiving sins thing was big. They hadn't heard anything like that. They had to go through a sacrificial system and offer up animals. They hadn't heard anything, seen anything like this. So it was quite amazing. Thank God. Thank God for what faith in Jesus will get us. And I think we all should work on our faith. Unfortunately, the faith teaching that we had years ago that came in, and there was so much wrong with it that people started almost doubting faith. Faith works. And the Bible says, I got to be careful with that. The Bible says that we have to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Jesus said, have faith in God. He didn't say you should have faith in God. He didn't say it wasn't a suggestion. It was serious. Have faith in God. This is a command. Let's do it. And let's not be trying to rethink the system that God has. Have faith in God. You believe in God. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe in me also, to his disciples. So we need to believe in him, have faith in him, he that created the heaven and the earth. Debbie, you want to read 27, 28? I hate to bring this up on April the 15th, but Matthew was a tax collector. It's a terrible thing to have to think about. And yet we know that we have to pay our taxes and do the right thing. And that's just part of our responsibility as a citizen. And I don't blame anyone for paying as little tax as you can, because I think that's fair. Play fair with the system and pay what we need to, but we shouldn't pay that much more. Levi was collecting taxes for the evil Roman government. Matthew, collecting taxes for the Roman government. And he wasn't regarded very highly by the Jewish people. They thought of them as snakes, rats, and anything else that's low and hateful. And yet, the commentary says that Jesus probably had passed this way a couple of times and, you know, had a few friendly conversations with Matthew and treated him with probably more respect and dignity than most of the Jewish people did. They probably wanted to spit in his eye. And then when Jesus came through this time, it was time, and he said, follow me, just like he did to the fishermen, follow me. And it says that he rose up and followed him. Isn't that amazing? Claire, you want to read the last verse, which is 29. We're going to close off with 29. I think it's amazing that Matthew threw a big dinner. I mean, can you imagine that? He's given up his job to follow Jesus, and he gives a big feast, and he brings all of his other tax collector buddies over, and they have a time, and Jesus was able to minister to them too. You know, when we think of tax reform, probably think of tax reform as a big joke. They tell us they're going to do this, 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 and this, and then they do that, that, and that. But I believe that if Jesus got a hold of these tax collectors, and the big thing wasn't so much of them collecting taxes for the Romans, but what they did extra. Most of these guys were dishonest, they took advantage, and they really took more than the right share. Like Zacchaeus said, I'll restore everything I've taken. And so tax collectors had the bad reputation because they were pretty much crooks and thieves. But if Jesus could minister to the tax collectors and just get them to be fair and honest with the people, then that would be a good tax reform. And we just need to pray and fast and seek the Lord for any tax reform we're going to get, because if, as long as it's up to politicians, I think we're kind of stuck with it. But appreciate everyone being out tonight. I don't want to go any later than this, and we may get through less scripture in a night, but we will get there eventually. Appreciate you being here. Let's pray as we close. And we always, in our Bible study, now remember Wednesday night, we're going to hold off for a few weeks, maybe even a few months. We don't know for sure what's directly ahead, but see if it makes it a little easier for people. We'll have the two services on Sunday. And let's pray for each other. Pray for each other. Keep Henry and Sister Watson utmost in her prayers. Lord, we're thankful tonight for your people. And I pray blessing. Lord Jesus, strength and your power. We love you. We give ourselves. We yield ourselves. We open our hearts. And Lord, we just ask that you'll bring blessing to our brothers and sisters. We want, Lord, them to be honored. We want them to be blessed. We want them to be strengthened. We pray that you'll be with Bob and Sherry as they really change their lives in a big way and move to another area. Lord, that you will open doors for them and strengthen their lives. Bless them, open a door for a great church for them to fellowship with the people and with you. And we pray, Lord, for each one that are here, that you'll strengthen us, bless us in our jobs, help things to go well. Give us strength for the day that we're working and all that we do. I pray healing and mercy follow. And Lord, that you'll touch each and every one. And I pray, God, that you'll bless us as we go out tonight. Help the kids in school and be with us, Lord, every day as we serve you and give you glory. Amen. Praise the Lord.